Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tournament time. Northeastern punched its ticket last night. That means William and Mary, winners of the CAA, will end up going to the NIT. Regular season champion that didn't make it. Wofford won last night. The West Coast Conference Championship will be a rematch between Gonzaga and Brigham Young. Sure, for BYU, it's an interesting trip to play the tournament in Las Vegas. And, by the way, where Penn State's going to be for basketball before Christmas next year, as a matter of fact. Looking forward to that. Kevin saying, take me. He wants to go. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll take Kevin along. Play a golf course, do the shows out there right before Christmas. It'll be a lot of fun. But BYU is going to play Gonzaga. Of course, BYU stopped Gonzaga's 40-game home court winning streak with an impressive performance. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It is the day where NFL players eligible for free agency become free agents officially and then start signing. There's a lot of talk that Frank Gore, thought to be signing with the Philadelphia Eagles, may not now. And that the Indianapolis Colts may be his destination. And that the Eagles are now starting to pursue other running backs. Of course, the Steelers are still trying to pursue a running back, but they did release Brett Kiesel. So the beard gone. Brett Kiesel out of there. I think a lot of people were not surprised by that. Of course, the Troy Polamalu watch continues. Dave Bryant, SteelersDepot.com, is going to join us in the next hour of the show. We're also going to hear from Ron Pavlechko from the National Football Foundation in the next half hour. So that's the lineup for today's show. And then tomorrow in Chicago for the show, leading into Penn State basketball as they take on Nebraska. That game will be at the United Center in Chicago, the home of the Chicago Bulls. Remember the first time they ever played that tournament? Yes, I've done them all. The first time they ever played the Big Ten tournament. And I remember when Penn State got into the league, I said, look, you have to have a tournament. Because, I was used to doing the Atlantic 10 tournament every year. And Penn State started to become a factor in the Atlantic 10 tournament every year. And you look at the last three Atlantic 10 tournaments that Penn State played in, they went to the championship game and lost at Rutgers, 70-66. They lost in the semifinals to John Calipari and UMass at the Palestra the night that Hank Gathers died. And then won the championship at Rec Hall over George Washington, 81-75, to take the automatic bid. And then they went to the NCAA tournament, which I mentioned Northeastern won and beat William & Mary last night. Well, Northeastern was in the same bracket as Penn State up at the Carrier Dome. And Northeastern lost to North Carolina. And Penn State beat UCLA in the opening round of the tournament up there. So I was used to doing the Atlantic 10 tournament, and I kept saying, look, the Big Ten needs a tournament. They're behind the curve of everybody else. And I talked about that repeatedly to different people. Well, they finally did get a tournament, and of course, they've been able to make a lot of money off of this tournament. Money's the bottom line why these tournaments exist. But the first one they decided to hold in Chicago. And they, because it was the first ever tournament, they felt there was a need to meet with each team after their shoot-around just to give them a little lay of the land as to how the tournament worked, because none of the players had been through it before. Some of the coaches had never done that before. Some of the coaches had been in there for a long time. Bob Knight, Lou Henson, Judd Heathcote. I mean, they'd never, they'd never had a tournament before. I bet Tom Izzo was the coach then. I think Izzo, but Izzo hadn't gone through it either. And, Clem Haskins, you name it. These guys had never coached in a conference tournament before. So for the coaches and the players, they brought them all into this area to show, to talk to them, just a quick 5-minute basics lay of the land of the tournament, how it's going to work, you know, how many people are allowed on the bench, you know, 25 minutes between games, you know, warm-up time, things like that, just all the basic stuff. Well, they decided to do this in the Chicago Bulls locker room. Now, this, it's a little bit different than saying you're in the Chicago Bulls locker room now going, hey, there's Noah's locker, there's Rose's locker. Oh, no. This was 1997. This is during the heyday of the run of the Chicago Bulls. This is Jordan. This is Pippen. All right? This is Tony Kukoc. This is Dennis Rodman. So naturally, all the players, and I went to shoot around, so I went in with them into the Bulls locker room like everybody else. And just like the Penn State football players at Yankee Stadium figured out where Derek Jeter's locker happened to be, and Sam Ficken had that, the players figured out which locker was Michael Jordan's. And so I took one picture after another. Steve, could you take a picture of me at Jordan's locker? Can you take a picture of me at Jordan's locker? So, yeah, they hand me their cameras. This is before phone cameras, okay? So they actually had cameras with them. And one by one, I took pictures of them at Jordan's locker. Even though they took the nameplates off, you know, the attendant said, yeah, that's it. You know, there's always ways of finding out. And that was the first Big Ten tournament. Played at the United Center in Chicago. I think they played the first five there. Then they started playing at Indianapolis. And I remember at one point in the middle of the run, they had to make a decision between Indy and Chicago. And I want to say this is in the mid-2000s. So the Chicago Sun-Times did an article on what at that point were the 11 Big Ten announcers. And they wanted to poll us on a variety of questions. It was the Chicago Sun-Times that did this. So the writer sent me a series of questions. And, you know, the other announcers got the same questions I did. And everything from length of conference season to, you know, who we thought was the best other announcer in the league and so forth. Well, that was difficult to answer in the mid-2000s. And here's the reason why. We don't really get to hear each other that often, right? Until now. See, I have Sirius now. So because I have Sirius, if I'm not in the WKOK listening area, and believe me, when I'm in the WKOK listening area, I'm locked in on listening to the station. I'll listen to Dan Patrick. I'll listen to Mark Lawrence. You know, I can, you know, driving to the Pinstripe Bowl, boom, I'm on WKOK on Interstate 80, driving to Allentown. You know, I went through the area, was listening to Kevin do a game on a Friday night. Kevin and Dave Ritchie were doing a game. There are times I'll come down here, you know, into the studio here on a Friday night, high school football, and I can listen to the game in here that Kevin does. That's why I know how great he is at what he does. But with Sirius, I can now hear everybody. And the same thing with what I do, because I'll get texts from Gary Dolphin at Iowa or Matt LePay at Wisconsin or Paul Keels at Ohio State or whomever. And, you know, so now we actually do listen. So we got a variety of questions like that. You know, who's the best coach? Who's the easiest to deal with? Who's the toughest to deal with? And one of the questions was, where should the Big Ten tournament be? Indianapolis or Chicago? And the vote was 9-2 in favor of Indianapolis. And now remember, this is the middle 2000s. I know that obviously Northwestern's Dave Ennett, awesome guy, right, voted for Chicago. Right? And I know where the other vote for Chicago came from. Because I was quoted in the article and said, the Big East has Madison Square Garden in New York. The Big Ten has Chicago. Use it. So I did say that. And that was quoted correctly. I was not misquoted. And now I can tell you that years later, and Indianapolis won the bid, obviously, and the Big Ten tournament went to Indianapolis for five consecutive years. Chicago's a great place to go to. We're going to be staying at a place called the Knickerbocker, which is just off of the Magnificent Mile, just off of Michigan Avenue. So, I mean, all the great shops, shopping. You know, we're going to go to dinner at the Chop House tonight, which I love. Always enjoy going there. I mean, you want to talk about great steak? Yeah, that's a great steak, great Midwestern steak. And I love going to Chicago. And the United Center, I really enjoy doing games in the United Center. I mean, obviously, I've done, I don't know, a dozen to 15 games in the United Center in my career. But I will say this. I can understand now why the other nine guys wanted to go to Indianapolis. Hey, you know, it's centrally located. Let's start with that. It's easy for everybody to get to. I mean, it's a stone's throw essentially from Illinois, from Purdue, from Indiana. It's easy for Ohio State. It's an easy drive for Michigan State fans, Michigan fans, Northwestern fans. It's, you know, because of its location, it's great. And I'll say, and for Indianapolis, think of all the big events that they have. They know how to host big events in Indianapolis. They've had the Super Bowl. They get the Final Four every 5 years. I mean, with the NCAA headquarters in Indianapolis, they get the Final Four every 5 years. That's why the Final Four will be in Indianapolis this year. And they just understand how to host big events. They've done it repeatedly. Everything from the Pan Am Games years ago to the Final Four, as I talked about, to the Super Bowl. It's also the way the city is set up. We'll stay, for example, in downtown Chicago for the Big Ten tournament. We'll stay there. But we have to bus out to the United Center because the United Center is not in downtown Chicago. It's within the confines of the city of Chicago, but it's a good 20 to 25 minutes away on a bus. And I've been out there when the teams had to go back late after a game. Remember when Penn State made the semifinals a couple times in Chicago, and I remember after one of them was a late game. I think it was the last game of the day. And I remember waiting out there for a cab or a shuttle to get me back to the hotel in downtown. Well, in Indianapolis, everything is set up in a quad, and the hotels are right there in that central area. And, for example, we usually stay at the Omni in Indianapolis. Well, I walk out my door and Lucas Oil Stadium is right there. Right? If I go and make a U-turn and go to the back and go down two blocks, Bankers Life Fieldhouse is there. That's how close and how convenient everything is. And plus, all the restaurants are down in that area, like St. Elmo's, which is another great steakhouse, Harry and Izzy's. You know, there's a bunch of places down there. You know, if guys want to go shopping, there's a mall down there, the whole deal. I mean, that's what makes Indianapolis very, very convenient. It may not have the power of Chicago, but they understand what they have, and they've really taken advantage of it in Indy. I give them a lot of credit for that. You have to know who you are. You have to know who you are and then take advantage of it. Indianapolis figured out who they are, and they're taking advantage of it. Chicago, you know, the other part, too, about Chicago, I mean, let's face it, you get a little uneasy there these days because of the number of shootings that have taken place there. That's the one thing that makes it uneasy. Still love going to Chicago. It always was my favorite big city. Like the layout. Just, you know, and a lot of things about it. But it's going to go Chicago this year. It goes back to Indianapolis next year. But then after that, they make the swing east. And hopefully you fans will get a chance to go to a Big Ten tournament because of proximity. That's one thing. I mean, Penn State is out of the proximity conversation all the time and always has been when it comes to this tournament. I talked about how easy it was for Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois, Purdue, Indiana, Northwestern fans to get to Indianapolis. And also, it's relatively easy for those same schools to get to Chicago. And also, it's obviously easier for Wisconsin fans to get to Chicago. It's not that far a drive. Not for Penn State fans. So far away, there's no way on the planet it's easy for a Penn State fan if they want to get to the Big Ten tournament. I don't care if it's in Indy or it's in Chicago. I mean, if it's in Indy from Steakhouse, that's a 9-hour drive. 9 hours. So it's always been a difficult proposition to get any fans for Penn State to go out there to take the tournament in. Well, next year it's in Indianapolis, but then the year after it's at the Verizon Center in D.C., and then the year after that it's at Madison Square Garden in New York. And I would hope that Penn State fans get an opportunity in 17 and 18 to take in the Big Ten tournament. It's a lot of fun, great atmosphere, a melting pot of all the fans coming together, all 14 schools, and you go from there. And I hope fans get a chance to do that in 17 and 18, that, you know, because D.C., Verizon Center is an easy drive for everybody in the Valley. And Madison Square Garden is a really easy drive from the Valley as well. What is it? 245 to get there? 2.5, 245 from the Valley to the Garden? And what, D.C. would be what, 3.5 maybe to get there? Well, this is all part of Jim Delaney's master plan of making sure the Big Ten has an Eastern presence. They even have an Eastern office that is in New York on Madison Avenue. And that's what the Big Ten's trying to do. They're trying to, the footprint is, they're just trying to make sure that there is an established Eastern footprint for the Big Ten. Thus, you know, I mean, that when they left 18 empty, you all knew he was trying to get into Madison Square Garden. He wasn't trying to get into the Barclays Center. He was trying to get into Madison Square Garden. But they had to make a concession to do that. And the concession they had to make to get the tournament into the Garden is they have to move the tournament up a week, because the Big East has a contract with the Garden through 2026. I mean, when the new Big East was formed and put together, they also locked in Madison Square Garden into 2026. Well, last year's Big East tournament didn't draw very well, and the Garden's not exactly enamored with it, but they can't get out of the contract, even though there was some thought that they would attempt to get out of the contract. They really can't, and that's a big issue. That's a problem that they can't do that. So the Big Ten tournament gets underway tomorrow. Penn State's got Nebraska. That will be at 4:30. We'll be on the air at 4 o'clock following the show. The other game tomorrow will be Northwestern against Minnesota. Then the two winners move on. There will be four games on Thursday. The quarterfinals will be on Friday. The semifinals will be on Saturday. And the championship game will be on Sunday, right before the selections take place. And that is how it's going to play out. Penn State's game, by the way, on News Radio 1070 WKOK tomorrow. Also will be on ESPN2 tomorrow from the United Center in Chicago. Ron Pavlechko coming up in the next half hour. Then we'll hear from Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com talking about some of the moves the Steelers may or may not make in free agency. We head to the bottom of the hour. Coming up, news is next. Thanks for joining us today on The Steve Jones Show. Back with more in a moment right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones with you as we roll through this Tuesday together. Penn State will play basketball tomorrow against Nebraska in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament. 4:30, the tip-off airtime, 4 o'clock here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The winner of that game will take on Iowa in the second round on Thursday, which would be at 2:30 and a 2 o'clock airtime, should the Nittany Lions win. And, of course, the other half of the bracket today, tomorrow will be Minnesota in action, taking on Northwestern at the United Center in Chicago. Never far away from football. Penn State football schedule looks like this. Obviously, they're off this week, and James Franklin's given the staff time off. On top of that, you will have the combine for Penn State football taking place next Thursday. It's also the last early morning workout of the winter program for Penn State, which will be next Thursday, the 19th. And then they'll have their first spring practice on Friday, the 20th. They're allowed 15 of them, with the 15th being the blue-white game, April 18th at Beaver Stadium. That'll be a 4 o'clock start. Parking and admission will be free. I mentioned the schedule, the 19th, the 20th. Well, on the 22nd, the National Football Foundation will be having its annual luncheon banquet to honor a variety of people. They're going to honor, I think, 45 student-athletes, including several from the Valley. They're going to be honoring those who are contributors to the game, coaches of the game, and so forth, that will all be honored by the Central Pennsylvania chapter of the National Football Foundation. And very pleased now to bring in Ron Pavlechko, former State College Area High School football coach, former State College Area High School athletic director, and also a guy who played in the late 60s on those undefeated Penn State football teams. Ron, welcome. It's always a pleasure. It's great to hear you.
Thank you, Steve. It's really nice talking to you guys.
Well, let's get to the National Football Foundation Central Pennsylvania chapter. You have your awards banquet coming up. The importance of this as to what kind of incentive it is for those who achieve academically and on the field, and what the National Football Foundation means to that.
Well, the National Football Foundation, Steve, has been around for a long time. And nationwide, you know, there are 121 chapters, and we're just one of them. What we're doing is really celebrating amateur football. We're trying to promote it, and within the general idea of promoting amateur football, we really have specifics, which are recognizing and developing leadership, sportsmanship, competitive spirit, and academic excellence in America's youth. And we think football plays a big part in that. I think being around now for 18 years, we've gotten some recognition from the schools in the areas. And I think kids and families understand that we do really provide a really nice service that recognizes high school and college scholar-athletes in regards to football playing.
Obviously, around here, you know, Penn State drawing over 100,000 fans a game. So Penn State people are locked in on what Penn State does. The National Football Foundation, the Central Pennsylvania chapter, also locks in on what Bloomsburg, Bucknell, Lock Haven, or whomever, and what they do. The importance of making sure that every level of football is recognized and that there's some outstanding football played at each level, Ron, how important is that?
I think there's an old saying among football coaches that football is football. Whether you're playing on a sand lot, right, whether you're playing at a junior college, a Division III, Division II, the new FCS series, the FBS series, it's all still football. And to the people who are involved with it, it is important. And I think that for us has always been an underlying part of our mission, that it is all football, not just that appears before 110,000 people on TV every weekend.
Also, you've recognized in the past, for example, officials, even referees that work out there. Everyone contributes Is that the one of the goals of the National Football Foundation, to recognize the fact that everyone does contribute, whether they play or not?
Yes, indeed. In fact, besides the 48 high school athletes who will be honored and the 9 college and university athletes who will be honored, we'll also be recognizing 4 gentlemen who have made contributions to amateur football in various areas, and those are in officiating, in a lifetime achievement category, in sports journalism, for which we have named it the Fran Fischer Award, and in athletic training. And special this year, we will also have a page of memorial in our program recognizing Harry Hain, a local media person who began WHVL, who was very involved in football and, in fact, was one of our lifetime members of the Central Pennsylvania chapter.
Yeah, very important. WHVL, in fact, has broadcast the ceremony the last few years. What kind of recognition is that given to the chapter itself, Ron, and also the recognition it's given to some of the local athletes because of it?
I think it's a good partnership because it allows us to have just a little bigger footprint in regard to people observing what's happening at this event. And I think for the local athletes, it's always important to be recognized by media. And if you get a brief moment where you are the person in front of the camera, that's always great.
Ron, you and I go back. I'm not going to say how far.
Please don't.
that would date both of us. But you've always been passionate about what football can do. And if you were to stand in front of a group, and of course you're talking about some of the great achievers that will be at this particular award ceremony, what to you does football do for a young person, and how can it shape a young person?
I think football allows a young person to be a part of an effort, of a group that is larger than himself, or when you take everybody into account, herself, because we have managers, we have some football coaches who are females. So, you know, gender is not required for football, but it allows those individuals to be a part of something larger than themselves. And football is very intricate in regards to how each part of that team fits together, and I think it's always an opportunity to experience that and to figure out how you work with other people. And as you know, that's a big part of life for everyone, and football gives you an opportunity to hone some of those skills.
Ron, as always, it's an absolute pleasure for me. And thanks so much. Appreciate it. And I hope this year it turns out to be a great success for everyone involved.
Well, I think it will be. We've got some great planning going on. We've got a good speaker coming in. We will miss you, Steve. And you have given great service over the years. We will have Casey Kantz this year as our MC. And I'm sure he will step into your previous activity and hopefully do well.
He will.
And if I could just leave with the opportunity for anybody to still get tickets to the banquet, they can call 814-470-7033, and we would be glad to accommodate them. Tickets are $25 each. The banquet is on March 22nd. That's a Sunday. There'll be a silent auction preceding the banquet with some great football memorabilia, a lot of good time seeing really standout youth in sport, and that's always fun.
It sure is. Ron, thanks so much. Casey will do a great job. Thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, we appreciate you talking with us, Steve.
Ron Pavlichko, thanks so much, Ron, as always. Ron, one of the really great guys. The first 10 years of my professional career, first 10 years were at a radio station in State College. And at that station, one of my jobs happened to be the play-by-play announcer for State College football. All 10 seasons, Ron was the head coach. There is not a guy that could have been treated better by a head coach at any program than I was treated by Ron Pavlechko. Now, Ron is a class act, class family. I think everyone at Bucknell knows Tim. And Ron and Barb have a beautiful family, great family. And it's always a pleasure for me to be around Ron. He's a class act in every way. Cares deeply about the game. And that's why I asked him the question at the end about the qualities that football bring to the table. And, you know, and it's interesting. I was thinking about this this morning. And you think about, you know, everyone will be asked when they're interviewed about, you know, who was a great teacher in your lifetime. And for a lot of people, they'll say, hey, you know, an influence, a teacher that influenced them, and they'll say, you know, it may have been their English teacher, their social studies teacher, whatever. But a lot of people have a teacher in their lifetime that had an influence on them. Well, mine, without question, was my football coach, a guy named Joe LaManna. Joe LaManna played at Boston University, and that's when Boston University is way back in the 40s. Really, really good. And he was the longtime head coach at my high school. He went to Cathedral High School in Springfield, Massachusetts. That's where he attended school. He graduated from Cathedral. And Cathedral was one of the great pipelines for Notre Dame football over the years, including the Heisman Trophy winner Angelo Bertelli and people like that. There are several NFL players that came out of Cathedral High School in Springfield. Well, Joe LaManna was out of Cathedral and then went to BU and eventually settled down in my town and was the high school football coach there. Well, I had the privilege of playing on his last couple of teams, his last two teams at Enfield High School. And he decided to retire. And you know, you learn so much. This is what I learned, all right? You learn about discipline. You learn about teamwork. You learn about time management. You learn about working together. You learn about, you know, that, yeah, there's different personalities in every locker room. How do you deal with it? And you learn that you get nowhere without hard work. And you know, I mean, that's why, and to me, he's the guy I always looked at. Yeah, he was the football coach. Well, it's fine he was the football coach. Well, football coaches teach too. And, you know, and he was tremendous. Yeah, it may not be the English teacher. It may not be the social studies teacher. But teachers come in all forms. It wasn't like I didn't have very good ones because, look, a lot of foundation that you get. I know we're a college-based society now, but a lot of foundation you get. If you get a really good high school foundation, then it's going to help you when you go to the next level. I don't care if you're going to play in college or if you're just going to college, that if you have a really good high school foundation, it's going to make a great difference. And I was really fortunate. I had a great high school foundation. And he's a big reason why I had a great high school foundation, because he understood hard work, discipline, things you had to do in the off season to get ready. He was a great motivator. And at the same time, did he get mad? Did he yell? Yeah, he got mad and he got yelled. But you know what? You always felt like you were being yelled at and not yelled. You know, you always felt like you were being yelled to and not yelled at. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Being yelled at is personal. Being yelled to is instruction. And he also added a sense of humor along the way. And, you know, and it was okay to be, you know, to have a sense of humor, to be funny, whatever. There were hard days. You know, I'll remember the worst one. Here's the worst one. The worst one was, I was a senior, and put the ball on the 50-yard line, and they put the JV team out there, and we had four plays, to score a touchdown, 50 yards. And we always used to run, lap the field. So, and we'd have to run 4 laps of the field. And I would say 4 laps of the field would be a mile, but it got to the point where we were like doing 4 laps of the field, like, and I was like going right around the sideline and cutting the corner. You know, we were 6-3. We weren't bad. But, and it was, this is 4 laps. And if we didn't get there, we'd have to run double, which would be 8. We got the ball to the 5-yard line and didn't score. So now we had 8. And somebody said, we want double or nothing. Like, double or nothing. And I was okay with that. I was like, okay, Faye, you know, you have to have some confidence here in life. So it was double or nothing. But Coach LaManna wanted to, he said, look, you're going to do double or nothing. You're not going to start from the 50. So he gave us a 10-yard penalty and then start from our own 40. So we had to go 60 yards in 4 plays. And we got to the 2-yard line and didn't get in. And I remember running 16 laps. Now, this is 16 laps, like with the helmet and the pads on. I mean, this wasn't one of those, okay, you know, you'll watch take Penn State at the end of practice. When Dwight Gall puts them through the paces, conditioning paces at the end of practice, they take off their helmets and they take off the shoulder pads. Okay, so there's all, one end zone has all the shoulder pads in it, and the helmets are all right there. That's how they do conditioning. Now, it's brutal what they do, but they don't do it in full pads. Well, we were still in full pads and helmets running around the track, 16 laps around the track, around the football field. And I'll admit the first dozen, I handled okay. I was all right, right? I can tell you right now that laps 13, 14, 15, and 60 got slower and slower, where I think laps 15 and 16 were more of a less than brisk walk. I mean, I was doing the running motion. All right, I'm doing the running motion, but I'm not going very fast. I'm not. I mean, the tank got a little empty at that point. I'm like, oh, I can't believe we're doing this. I can't believe this. Like I said, the first dozen laps, I was like, okay, run, okay, fine. You know, because the first 4 were easy. We did 4 after every practice. Like, okay, fine. Second 4, you're like, yeah, okay, fine, you know, and it's still fine. The third 4 is like, yeah, okay, you know, getting a little tired, but I'm okay. But man, I got to lap 13, and all of a sudden you could just feel the throttle going down. Like, okay. Okay, I'm throttling back now. This ain't going very well. Oh, yep. I was 17 years old at the time. That was 40 years ago. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember exactly which field we were on. I remember which track we had to run it on, the whole thing. Because we didn't do it on the main field. This thing was not done on the main field. We did the have to score in 4 plays deal on the practice field, and then we had to run around the actual field that we played on, which is where the track was. Oh, and our track, by the way, was not an asphalt track. You got to remember, this is the 70s. It was not an asphalt track. We had a cinder track. Cinder. Okay? That's one of the reasons why we ran on the grass, you know, on the inside of the track. The reason we ran on the grass, the inside of the track, it was easier to do. Because if you're running on that cinder thing, you know, you're like running in quicksand. I got full pads and a helmet on. I'm not running on quicksand here. But we had a cinder track. That's why we ran on the grass. And I did. I ran on the grass for this thing. I remember it like it was yesterday. Felt like it was 40 minutes ago and not 40 years ago. All right, next half hour, we're going to talk about the Steelers. Free agency, big moves. Brett Kiesel's gone. The Troy Polamalu watch continues. And what will they do with Ben Roethlisberger? Dave Bryant coming up next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.